Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That's me, along with Captain Patrick in the studio and also via the web. We have our good friend, Captain Rusty. So we got kind of a full crew here. Boat Show Girl can't join us. She's a little under the weather today. Ill, I guess. So we're going to let her.
And you let her off.
Well, yeah. I mean, she can only take so much of us.
Wait a minute. When I was laid up recovering from those horrendous injuries suffered in that motorcycle accident.
Right.
You were texting me constantly. You coming in this week? You coming in this week? You coming in this week? My jaw was wired shut. I could barely mumble.
So what was the excuse? What difference would that have made from any other week?
Who showed up at the studio?
What do you mean? Today?
Walking with a cane. No, not today.
Yeah,
but mere weeks after my discharge,
right? You know, he came in looking for sympathy, kind of like Willy Wonka. You know, he came out of the mansion with his cane, he's gimping and stuff, and then he does a somersault. It's like, hey, I'm back. I'm
I listened to the radio shows where you discounted that I was actually laid up in the hospital, even though you went to the hospital and you saw me. That it was something that I was on vacation or I had gotten arrested.
The lengths he goes to pull off a scam, you got to give him credit. He's dedicated to.
I call it. Trumping.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Hey, before we continue to navigate through the latest boating news and information, I got to give a little shout out to Kian, who Patrick got an email or a Facebook.
I really like his pepper.
Yeah, true. He had some questions about boating, which we did answer towards the end of last week's show. But evidently, he didn't get them because he emailed me the question again through the World of Boating website.
Nobody listens to the show.
No one can get through the entire show. So, Kian, just go back and listen to last week's show and listen to the very end, and you'll hear.
Or just fast forward to the end.
Or you can do that, too. But wouldn't you want to revisit that magic through the entire hour?
You mean you and I talking about Boat Show Girl's career choices?
Yeah.
that was riveting.
Yeah, even when I say it out loud, it sounds absurd. But anyway, Kian, it is there. So go back and you can catch up and then join us.
And if you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to ask, and we will revisit them on air at Greg's convenience.
True. We love getting all the viewer mail we can. So feel free to do that.
By the way, you notice I put the bullhorn way over here, right?
Oh, you did you?
I did.
Excuse me.
I just happen to have a backup. We have two bullhorns in the studio now. Rusty doesn't have this advantage.
Greg, step away from the bullhorn.
No, I will not. Patrick, put that down. That was not even supposed to be on your lips. Don't touch that.
Today.
That has not been sanitized,
I consider myself,
by the way.
To be the luckiest.
Our last show, by the way, was using that bullhorn to amplify the sounds coming out of their rear end. You hear what I'm saying?
You know, the funny thing is...
Now it's touching your lips.
That is actually Craig's real voice.
Okay. So, Rusty is connected via the web. Thank God for him.
Yeah, I am. I don't have a bullhorn or anything.
You don't have nothing, huh?
No.
But you have that terrifically melodious voice of yours.
It is.
Been known to lull babies, dogs, and Republican presidents to sleep.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, that dirt under your lip there, I don't think that's your mustache, buddy. Just saying.
Nicely done, Greg.
Anyway.
The trap was laid.
How are you doing, Rusty?
I'm doing awesome.
Oh, wait. Should I say how you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. Okay. No complaints. I'm happy.
Did you sell a boat last week?
We sell a lot of boats. Boats, and actually the pontoons are like selling extremely well this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't say they're selling like hotcakes.
No, they're just selling well. I really well. So
Metal Tubed Wonders is the appropriate verbiage.
Everybody evidently wants one this year.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Floating tubes of fun. How about that?
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, we've sold two, one on order and one that we had in the lot that were well over $70,000 each for pontoons.
Wow. So you're rolling in the dough right now.
We're doing okay, but I'm always amazed that the pontoons do as well as they do.
Yeah. Now, are people trailering these, or are they going to keep them in a dry stack somewhere?
We've actually sold all of them with a trailer except for one, and we've sold about probably close to 15 or 20 pontoons since the first of the year.
Okay, so wow. Yeah, I'm very familiar, obviously, with the tow weights of fiberglass power boats and cruisers. Mm-hmm. And the legalities involving, personal towing of those boats, if they're over height or over width. For a pontoon boat, the weight is considerably less, correct?
That it is. It is a lot less.
What size were these that you sold?
Everywhere from as little as a 16, which just went out, but normally about 22 feet would
be. Wait, you sold a 16-foot pontoon boat for $70,000?
Not that one. The $70,000 ones were one's 23 and one's 24 foot.
Okay, and what's the beam on those? Is it 8.5 legally trailable, or are they stretching? Okay.
Yeah.
And because now you should have this. If not, you should be scrambling for your product information guide, because I'm going to ask you, what's the weight?
And I'm scrambling for it, but it's they usually come in around 32.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No, okay. They're not bad. It's very easy to tow behind a regular car. They're just they seem big, because they're wide, they're tall, but they're easy to put on and on off the trailer.
Oh yeah, those the trailers on those with the twin if it's a twin pontoon boat, and the guides, coming up with V bunks on each side. I mean, it pretty well. You just got to get it close, and it self locates.
Yeah,
yeah, it does, and it's really nice. And so, and people are enjoying it. They look at them and they're thinking this is comfortable. They do a lot better in rougher water than a V hull, as far as just pounding you to death, because that catamaran type feel to it, sort of. Mm-hmm. So it's a great boat for a lot of people. Then in pontoons have overcome their image, of being your grandfather's boat to something that's really classy.
Well, I don't know that it was necessarily that they were your grandfather's boat and like an old fogies type thing. I think it had to do more with the quality of the construction of the boats going back 15, 20 years ago, that, if you got a couple seasons out of them, you were doing pretty good, because they take a lot of weathering.
They do.
It's a big flat deck. It's usually, back then it was carpeted. Should have been marine grade plywood under that deck. Wasn't always. And the upholstery really didn't hold up and was a little difficult to maintain. But I know within the industry itself, the use of composites, composite materials for making the upholstery, and then the advances in the upholstery itself, the vinyl, with the UV ratings. I mean, you still got to clean it. You should still keep it covered, but really designed for the long haul. Because again, if you make a product that falls apart after a couple of years, you're not going to be making them very long.
And one of the manufacturers, Bennington, which is one we sell, and we sold Suncatcher as well. Suncatcher's held up extremely well. But what Bennington does on their warranty is it's just crazy. Right now, they give a 10-year warranty bow to stern on the boat.
Hmm.
So, I mean, even if the nav lights go out, they're going to replace them.
Really?
Yeah, it's just absolutely, nobody can compete with that in the industry, because they're going 10 years. This is.
But you're averaging a couple of these a week right now.
We are.
Wow. Is that on par for a record, you think? That's pretty.
For us, it is. Yeah.
I would think. I mean, what did you do last year?
We sold about 8 last year.
For the entire year. So you've already doubled what you've did in the first 2 months of 2017.
Wow. I told you, man, he's all that Chris Craft. He was good for the next 6 months with his profit.
I know, right?
He's in really
good
shape.
I'm not going back.
If you don't mind, and if it doesn't bother Greg a whole lot, but I think it is of some interest, the warranty aspect, especially for our listeners that are looking for a new boat, or they're in the market for a pre-owned boat that has one of these warranties on it that's transferable to the second owner.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Bennington, that 10-year warranty, now, is that Bennington for 10 years, or is that Bennington for, say, 2-3 years, and then it goes to a secondary, like a Brunswick protection program or something like that?
No, that's Bennington for the 10 years, except for the motor. The motor will be whatever Yamaha's offering or Mercury's offering, but Bennington for 10 years on the boat itself. And this is the neat thing. If you sell the boat, the transferable side, it'll kind of, it will go out to a certain point. So it'll drop down every how many years you've had it. So if you've had it a few, then they won't get the full 10 years.
No, they would get the remainder of the warranty. But, I mean, it's a great resell feature for boats because, again, one, it encourages your buyers to possibly upgrade. That's why I kind of question the 10-year. I mean, it's a great warranty, but really we want them kind of out of those boats in their first five.
Right.
Well, I guess there's a downside, but that seems like a pretty small one. All right, more coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with The World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Listen up. The ship is sinking. Okay? We're going down right now. Just wrap your heads around the reality of that. In 5 minutes, this ship is going to be at the bottom of the lake, and there aren't enough spaces on the lifeboat. Who are we going to save?
Who's going to fix this ship? We got the ship we're in. Who's going to fix this ship? Who's going to fix this ship?
This is The World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me along with Captain Patrick and Rusty. So we got a full crew as we navigate the latest boating news and information. Rusty is off to a stellar start for 2017, selling more boats than evidently he had for the entire last year. So, I don't know, did you see this coming, Rusty? Just with
No, I didn't. But I don't think it's just me. I think people in general are just buying boats right now.
You think this is a sign for?
I think it is
a big turnaround. Patrick is looking.
I'm waiting for it. I'm just.
Well, you don't. You don't think it'll come back that quick?
Huh?
You don't think it'll come back that quick? Do you?
No, I have said. But
So you think he's a fluke? Think Rusty is a fluke?
A prodigy.
Okay.
Or a trendsetter.
Again, what I have said over the last several years is the key part of boat manufacturing that is leading the recovery is aluminum
right.
boats.
Well, I understand. Okay. But similar dealerships to Rusty, do you think he's an anomaly or do you think...
No, aluminum product is selling very well. Okay. Yeah. The issue is going to be for fiberglass product. Okay. Especially coming out of, say, the specialized boats, bass boats, center consoles, getting into the luxury performance side of it,
right?
Like Chris Craft and some others.
That's when we'll see the bigger turnaround. I understand that. But what about, would have you predicted Rusty to sell this many boats and already eclipse last year's sales?
I actually predicted that Rusty, despite his pizza pie chart, business plan to the bank, was going to do extremely well. That was even reinforced by somebody high up in the industry that Rusty and I both know that met with Rusty on a couple occasions and has talked with him on the phone and personally told me that if anybody as a marine dealer in the same position that Rusty was in at that time could make a go of it and succeed, it would be Rusty because he's not in it just to make money. And there's plenty of dealers that are out there that are in it just for the money. Give me the money. Here's your keys. See you later. Don't call us.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty's take when it comes to selling boats, and if I misspeak, Rusty, please don't hesitate to jump in and interrupt me like Greg does.
it's just what I do.
The way Rusty approaches it.
What do you mean I interrupt you all the time?
Rusty approaches it is he's not just selling you a boat. He's selling you the boating experience, the boating lifestyle, and wants you to know everything there is to know about not just the boat, but about boating in general. He's going to give you the benefit of not only his experience, but his staff's experience. And he wants that, whether it's your first boat or your second boat or your 10th boat, for that buying experience and then that experience of using the boat to be positive all the way around. And
all right, that brown nosing is nice.
And know that
but
if there's an issue.
Is he an anomaly, Patrick?
No, I don't think Rusty is a one off.
The dealers that are handling boat lines like he is are on fire right now.
No, I think Rusty. Yes, there's a lot of boat dealerships that are doing very well. Okay, now whether or not they can sustain that level, because again, if you're in it just for the money, you're going to get a reputation real quick, and people are going to stop buying boats from you. Because especially in this day and age, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Snapchat, whether it's a Better Business Bureau page, whatever it is, word can get around, and your business can tank and suffer as a result if you're not providing not just a superior sales experience, but a superior experience overall. Because that's what people want. And if you give that to them, and in fact, if you even go as Rusty does and exceed their expectation, they're going to come back and they're going to buy another boat from you, as well as their friends and their family and people that they may meet out on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the thing is, Greg, boats have problems. Okay. There's no boat manufacturer out there that makes the perfect boat. But when your dealership, when the experience of buying the boat and your experience of getting any issues that you have resolved are positive in nature due to the way that the dealership is represented, that goes a long way to dispelling any ill feelings that somebody may have about the problems that they've had as a result.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that. I do. But really what I want to get to is if Rusty is doing so well right now, at what number of boat sales do you have to achieve in order to, like, donate one to the world of boating?
No. Rusty is doing so well right now, he can actually start to afford to pay for advertising on the show.
Well, let's not get crazy.
don't get crazy.
But I'm thinking, what if you reach, say, like 50 boats It reached that threshold, like the 51st, I think, ought to be donated to the World of Boating Charitable Boating Fund. What do you think there, Rusty? You like that idea?
I will consider it. But this is where I got to this week, which was the best place I felt, is my love-hate relationship is with one of our floor plan companies, which is Wells, whatever the rest of their name is.
Hmm. Rhymes with Dells Fargo.
Yes, exactly. And you know, they're one that everybody, all the major boat dealerships have agreements with. They're the ones that do it, and they're the hardest ones to work for.
Hmm.
And over the past couple of years, you know, first they wouldn't give me any money, and then they give me just, you know, a small amount, which I consider a small amount, you know, a couple of hundred thousand, like $200,000.
Right.
And then, you know, then finally, after jumping through hoops and hoops and hoops, then I finally got it up to like $450,000. Well, on the other hand, there's two other floor plan companies I work with. One has it as $1.2 million, and I mean, I hardly have to do anything. The other one just gave us like $800,000. And so Wells Fargo called today because I was going to see if I could get an increase. And they started asking me all these questions. I go, look, I'm not going to jump through hoops anymore. I don't need your money. I really don't. I said, I'll do fine without you. So either give me the money or don't, but I don't need it. And that was the best, where I was at a place where I could say to a company like that, where before I was basically having to beg them, that I really didn't need it. It would be nice to have it, but I'm okay, and I'm not going to play their games anymore because they're really starting to bother me.
You know, when you reach a level of success and you can tell a company like that to suck it, that is very fulfilling. You have reached a new threshold of you know, success, and you should feel proud.
I hate the physical challenges that come with a loan. It's jumping through hoops, climbing stairs.
I just like saying suck it, like the Patrick here. But, you know, that's just me.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Just down the road from the newly announced Margaritaville Old Folks Home, this is the World of Boating. Did you hear about that, Patrick? Did you already sign up?
What?
For Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville Adult Retirement Community. It's going to be built in Daytona, where you can get, you know, margaritas 24/7 and meet the love of your life at, you know, 65 and above. Sounds like a party. What do you think, Rusty? You're in.
It sounds intriguing.
I mean, Patrick's speechless. He's so enthralled with the idea. You know, but yeah, they just announced that this week. It's going to be in Daytona, just down the street from us here. So, you know, at least we got some place to go other than where everyone tells us to go.
Why Daytona, out of all places?
Because property is cheap, believe it or not. Daytona Beach.
It's the new spring break for the 65 and over crowd.
I'm telling you. It
isn't it?
Just, I wish I had a stun gun that could just force his mouth shut.
Don't tase me, bro. What were you saying?
Daytona Beach still has, there's like a one or two city block wide area that's really nice.
Yeah,
and the rest of it is really bad, and then you get into Daytona Beach Shores, and it's even worse. It's kind of like going over to Fort Pierce. I mean, Fort Pierce, right outside of the Fort Pierce City Marina, the downtown area, you know, like 2-3 blocks, is gorgeous. Mm. Now, go about a half mile past that, and it's like going down Orange Blossom Trail.
Yeah.
It's not an area that I would be walking alone at night.
Daytona used to be the spring break capital of the world. Back when these 65-year-old and over somethings were going to spring break.
Daytona Beach was never the spring break capital of the world.
Sure it was.
No, it wasn't.
Back in the 80s, Daytona was definitely the place to go for spring break.
So you're saying kids that were in 80s. College in the 1980s
yeah.
are now 65?
Well, I mean, you know, they look worse for wear, so they could probably pass off as a 60-pluser.
White mustache, goatee, thinly cropped hair.
Yep, yep.
Scar on their chest.
By the time they get it built, you know, they'll be that. More coming up. Stay close. I don't know who he was talking about, though.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
I see land. Wait. I know this area. There. That is the safest place to come ashore.
You're set.
I've never been more certain of anything in my life.
Wow. I did not know what I was talking about.
I spend my whole life
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, and Rusty rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest boating news and information. So, I guess, you know, Rusty mentioned something right before we went on the air today about some new law that they're not going to allow boaters under the age of 16 to operate a boat. Is that Florida?
That is Florida. That they're, it's a new legislation that they want to prohibit.
Not needed.
Not needed. Yeah, they just is basically saying that this is not going to let anyone under the age of 16 operate a boat without an adult in, just like a car. They said it should the same law should apply to a car as it apply to boats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was this a result of the Tequesta teenagers, Austin Stefanos and Perry Cohen, when they disappeared with the 14-year-olds?
It is.
Mm-hmm. So you're not a fan, Patrick, I can tell already.
Well, there's already laws in place, and really, let me put it this way. These kids could have been 16, okay?
Yeah.
And this, I don't think at that point, I don't think age really plays into it. Obviously, there's a leap if they were 10 versus being 16, mm-hmm. but the 14 to 16 and the amount of time, the experience that they had on the water, the mistake, and I'm probably not going to win a lot of friends with this one, but
like
here
you
it
have
goes.
Any.
That's true. The mistake was with the parents in letting them take the boat offshore. And whether or not they told their parents that they were going to go offshore or not, I don't know if that's ever been determined 100%. But I, growing up in Merritt Island, I used to take our boat at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16. I'd go run offshore out to Pelican Flats to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I was taught, I understood, and I didn't run the boat like a madman. And this was an unfortunate occurrence, but we have to be careful that we don't have a knee-jerk reaction every time that somebody suffers an accident or a tragic loss of life, that automatically we're putting in place another law to keep this from happening, because the end result is, Greg, teenagers are going to do what teenagers do. And if you think that them saying you have to be 16 or you can't use this boat without an adult on board is going to keep 14 or 15-year-olds from taking out a boat, you're mistaken.
Yeah, well, not just that. I mean, I would assume we're talking motorboats, are we not, Rusty?
Motorized craft.
Yeah, motorized. So it wouldn't apply to sailboats.
It should.
You should.
It should.
No, I don't think so. Not even close.
No, I mean, if you're going to do this law, it should apply. You would have to assume that somebody who is 14 years of age does not possess the maturity, the skill to handle any type of watercraft. So if we're doing this to protect, then let's go to the far extreme. And bear in mind, I'm playing devil's advocate here, because I think this is absolutely totally ridiculous. But if you're going to do it, don't do a piecemeal effort. Go full on, man, and just say no boats, no canoes, no kayaks, no stand-up paddle boards whatsoever without having – because what's the difference between you can go and take a kayak and go offshore in that and lose your life too?
Well, if you got lost or something, but
no,
it isn't like you're going to run over somebody in a kayak.
Not if you get lost. These kids got themselves out offshore, got in a situation that they were not prepared for. We're not exactly sure what it was,
yeah.
But whatever it was, they weren't prepared for it because they obviously weren't wearing PFDs, otherwise they would have been found.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, they weren't doing the right thing, but that's what teenagers do. They don't do everything that their parents tell them to, okay? And I probably guilty of that as well, except for Greg, because he was perfect.
True. At least you got that much right.
So if you're going to do this, you would have to assume that even if they go out in a kayak and they take it offshore or out in a river, I mean, you should be licensed. You should have to have an adult with you, because how do we know you're going to make the right decisions? There comes a point in time that we individually have to take responsibility for our children and not leave it up to the government to regulate or tell us what we need or how we need or what we should do to raise our kids or protect our kids. Common sense outweighs all. And if you utilize common sense,
have you been drinking?
If you utilize common sense, I'm not saying that it will keep bad things from happening, but as a parent, you have to hold your kids accountable. If you see them out there and they're using the boat without a life jacket, they come back and you know that the life jackets were put away. Greg, when you were teaching your kids to drive, did you used to track the mileage on the car? Did you set the odometer? Did you see, hey, I was going to Bobby's house and it's 5 miles down the road. Whoa, there's 50 miles on the car. Where'd you go? Or did you trust them right off? No. Trust but verify.
I didn't even think about checking that.
Trust but verify.
Trust but verify. And an interesting argument you make there, Patrick. Because usually, I mean, you're in favor of like boat licenses. You've felt that.
To me, that
same argument could be applied to whether or not we need a national boating license, which I don't think we do.
Now, I do.
I know, which seems to ask backwards to me.
But no, because what I'm saying is, if you're going to go and do this, you got to go full in, man. Full on, an all-encompassing.
Full Monty.
No half measures, okay? When it comes to boats, understand, when we're talking about motorized craft that's capable of doing, I don't care whether it's 30 miles an hour or 130 miles an hour, you can go to a dealership, pay money, not even pay for it, just have a loan, get handed the keys and go out on the water and have no idea of what you're doing. And you can't. Now, you can do it with a car and you can do it with a motorcycle and you can do it with a moped and things like that. You could even do it with a plane. The kid, he was stealing planes and flew them across the country and stuff like that. So, you know, you watch a YouTube video, you could figure out how to do it. But legally, to do it, you have to buy a car from a dealer. You have to have a driver's license. To go even sit on a motorcycle at a dealership, you got to have a motorcycle endorsement. Okay? To go and legally fly a plane or rent a plane, you have to provide information. I've said this before on air. For captain's licenses, U.S. Coast Guard captain's licenses, whether it's your OUPV or like I hold my 100-ton master, at no time was I required to get in a boat with anyone from the Coast Guard and prove that I had seamanship skills, that I knew how to handle a boat. What I had to do was prove my time or provide a calendar of sea time. And my feeling is that, hey, if you can document it on a calendar and you're still alive, you probably know what you're doing.
Well, but you're talking about a charter boat captain or something, which I understand, and that would apply.
Any U.S. Coast Guard licensed captain.
But just some schmo or family of four, the guy, I don't think it makes any difference whether they have a... have to have any evaluation. They should want to, No, be as skilled as they possibly can because, you know, my feeling about that has always been you don't really need the extra bureaucracy involved. It'll weed itself out.
Do you know how we do drivers now in Florida?
And I don't education know how, over legislation.
Do you know how we do drivers now in Florida?
But
Car drivers? Okay, so you get your permit. You have to drive for a year with your permit before you can go and get your driver's license. When you go to get your driver's license, I know here in Orange County, they don't even put you out on the road anymore. You go behind the driver's license office to this little tiny parking lot and prove that you can drive around it. So basically, they're giving you your license. If you can pass their little skills test, then you get to go learn out on the road with those of us who've been driving for years. And the same thing happens with boats. And not only that, you don't even need an endorsement to tow a boat. So any of these boats that Rusty just towed, he could have somebody come in there, buy a $70,000 pontoon boat, hook it up to the back of their vehicle. Hopefully it's capable of towing a vehicle like that. They may not have any idea. Now, I know Rusty would make sure, but let's say it's another dealership. They have no idea how to tow, and they get on the road. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we allow that to happen, but it happens. So, yes, part of me, I would like to see, if we're going to go and have boat education, state to state, these boater safety ID cards, that's a joke, okay? The online test is a joke. It's ridiculous. If you're going to go, full measures and do it the right way. Otherwise, don't do it at all.
Don't half-ass it, according to Captain Patrick. More coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me, or anything that followed. Chased by a police department, led by his ex-girlfriend, and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a PADI diver or PADI professional? Has your PADI certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit PADI.com/my story. That's PADI.com/my story. And thanks for choosing PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
It's sometimes referred to as the martini effect and has nothing to do with drinking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what it is and how divers avoid it next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The martini effect is a slang term to refer to nitrogen narcosis, the physical and mental impairment experienced by scuba divers on deeper dives. Most divers don't feel the effects at 30 or even 60 feet. Everyone is different, much as some people get drunk more easily than others. But with increasing depth, you are much more likely to feel it. At 100 feet and deeper, you will definitely be affected, even if you're not aware of it. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Oh my God, Brian, this ship, it's unbelievable. It's even more magnificent than I imagined.
Wrote a note, said be back in a minute. Bought a boat and I sailed off in it. Don't think anybody's gonna miss me anyway.
I know this thing's gonna sink, but I'm having a good time.
Come on in, the water's nice. Find yourself a lip slice. Grab a backpack and lines you never know until you try.
There! Jump onto that mooring rope!
When you lose yourself,
we have to get on that ship.
You find the key to paradise.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, and Rusty. rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest boating news and information. It also sometimes turns into career counseling for Jacksonville Marine, Captain Rusty's boating dealership.
It's helpful. It's yeah. Very, very helpful.
And I know you have a question about what? Reaching high-end
I do. High-end community. Here's my idea. The other day, I took a drive down the Intercoastal Waterway. I was going to lunch. And so riding on the boat, and I'm looking. There's this area in Ponte Vedra near the TPC Sawgrass, that area. And there's these homes. They're literally, you know, $2 to $7 million homes. And I'm looking at the boats that they have on their slips. Mm-hmm. Paying attention to what they have, and I'm going, wow, they really have some crappy boats in here, and which I thought was interesting itself. I mean, some of them had like a Bayliner Element or a Key West, not the kind of boats you would expect to be in these homes. And so right. I'm thinking, how do you reach these communities, and especially, you know, they don't come to a boat show. They're not going to show up at my dealership. I'm in Fleming Island. And so how am I going to get there? So I don't have a name for this, but here's my idea, and I want to know your thoughts. I want to do basically what I'm calling a micro boat show. That's not what I'm going to call it, but something like that, where I take three boats, Chris Craft only, and I partner with these country clubs, and this one would be Marsh Harbor Country Club, and I go to either one of their events, tie into one of their charity things, but I basically go on the road with my higher-end boats, showing up in these communities where they're having events where I can partner with them, and taking kind of a different approach instead of one or two boat shows a year or having people just show up at the dealership, but really trying to get the product out in front of people who can afford the product. What do you think?
Hmm. It's not a bad idea. Or you could just take those boats, create a parade, and cruise right in front of them. Hey, loser, you need a new boat. Look at that piece of crap. My God, you should be embarrassed.
I think it's a terrible idea.
Oh, wait, I should have got the megaphone. What? We got two of them here in the studio. We'll let you borrow one. Okay, Rusty, how about that?
That'd be nice. Yeah, since you got two.
You shout them down. Yeah.
And Captain Patrick, you think it's a bad idea?
You.
What? Well, he can't operate the mega. He's trying to. That's the wrong way. Yeah.
You in the house. Your boat is a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Come to my dealership.
Get that POS out of here.
Obviously, you spent all your money on your home and liposuction and not on a boat. So let me sell you a boat that you will then not take care of either.
Well, no, that's not how you would pitch it, I don't think.
No, I don't think. Okay, golf course, yes. The TPC and all that. Yeah, obviously a certain level of affluence is represented there, but they're golfing, they're not boating.
What is TPC? It's some illegal substance.
Like at Marsh Harbor, and the ones I'm looking at, these are waterfront homes, and they have a marina at the facility.
It's the Players Championship golf courses.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So I'm trying to tie in with these people at the marinas, and so if they're, like, Epping Forest worked out great. I called those guys. That's a very nice place here in Jacksonville, and they go, hey, we're having an open, you know, I called them saying, can I do this? And they say, well, we're having an open to the marina event. We'd love for you guys to come, you know, and have your boats here for that event. That's what I'm looking for, is these kind of things, whether it be the Florida Yacht Club, Epping Forest, Marsh Harbor, but finding these, I got to get where the people are and get in front of the people. And that's tough.
I don't, because people that are at the golf course, they're there to play golf. They're going to give the boats a cursory glance. They're not, I don't think it's going to give you the result that you want. And it is challenging because by water, obviously, you can't pull up to their docks.
Well, you could.
I recommend putting a flyer in a bottle and throwing it in their backyard.
Beer. Put it in a beer can. You know, and that was the other thing, because that's our market for that boat is waterfront homes.
But don't you, as a dealer, don't you have access to the boat registrations in that area to where you could just do a mass mailer and or email?
And we've done that we did a mass mailing to everybody that owned a certain brand of boat.
Okay, but by water though, you see that behind these multi-million-dollar homes, there's Bayliners,
right,
and other ones that you haven't necessarily targeted. I think one of the events that we had here in Orlando that I think has the crowd that you're probably looking for is like this, it's a fly-in event that happens out at Orlando International at a small hangar. So they bring in these luxury jets, private jets. There was even a doctor and his wife that flew in. They had a military jet trainer that they flew in. And then you had the exotic car dealers here in Orlando, Maserati and Porsche and Ferrari, bought their vehicles in. And we took, in partnering with Orlando Nautiques, we bought some of our boats. I actually took a 46-foot yacht. Thankfully, it was just about 2 miles down the road from the factory because I may have run it after hours when it was dark to get it into this event and set it up. And they had a huge response. I think it was something like cars, cigars, and boats, something like that. But really high-end invitation-only event.
Good idea.
And then you get pull out the
I like the invitation.
Megaphone.
I'll send you some information, Rusty.
But pull Thank out you. The megaphone at the event and start yelling at them. Guilt them. Hey, you, rich boy, buy a boat, okay? Come on. Don't be a loser. Okay, yeah, that may not. Kind of. When I said it out loud, it didn't sound as good as it did in my head. And on that disturbing note, we'll leave it. Till next time, remember, whether it is sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.